Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Naked Englishman podcast. I'm Richard Vobes. This is the audio diary of my life. Thank you for joining me on the 18th of May, 2025. Isn't the year going through so quickly at the moment? I cannot believe it's May. I'm enjoying the spring and the summer, although technically I suppose we're not quite into the summer. But before we know it, it'll be autumn and then back to the miserable cold of the winter. And I'm not looking forward to that. I feel this winter will be an aggressive one, purposely manufactured by dark forces. We may be out of all of that problems by then. Who knows? We may have won. There are days when I think we have not won, but we are further along the line, and other days when I think we have retreated a bit. It's a very difficult thing to call. We're winning. We are going to win this. It's just, do you know, it's so wearing. It is so wearing, and it'd be nice to sort of get back to some sense of reality, but not as yet. I want to say hello to the two lovely ladies I met yesterday, who came up to me with their little dog and said, "We listen to the Naked Englishman." Now, it is so rare that I bump into anybody who says, "I listen to the Naked Englishman." I mean, I've had a few emails, as you probably are aware, that I've said in here that people have said they do listen, mostly because I do this in such a laissez-faire way that it's almost inconceivable that anybody would listen to it at all, I suppose, because I'm just holding a tiny little recorder, voice recorder. I talk into it, and it sometimes seems incredibly non-inconsequential. Is that a word? And I put it up, forget about it, and you don't get any feedback. Whereas with a YouTube video, you can see it's up there. Well, I can see the videos up. I can see the podcast is on the website. But with a video, you can see it's up there, as it were. There's a thumbnail, and you get to see how many people have watched it, assuming YouTube's figures are correct and accurate. And you also see the feedback, excuse me, from the comments, from those people that wish to comment. And so you're aware of it. And of course, it's got a greater presence. More people are watching it. And the channel is, reasonably strong with 260,000 subscribers, which, you know, when you sort of sit and think about it, you couldn't fit them in to the Albert Hall. 260,000 subscribers. I mean, that's a hell of a lot. Not that I think that the majority of them listen anymore. And I think it's a fraction. It's probably 10%, and that might even be pushing it, that listen. But there you go. Any one time, of course.
I'm sorry, I'm just yawning.
It's quarter to six in the morning. I don't know why I've woken up so early. I dare say my alarm will go off shortly. But the trouble with me is if I'm awake, I'm awake. And I will get up. I did get up at 2 o'clock. I woke up and I thought, oh, do you know, I can't sleep. And I came downstairs. The cat was zooming about, desperate to go outside. But I didn't let him go outside, not in the middle of the night. Sometimes about 3:30, if I've woken up, I'll let him out, knowing that I'll be up early, because he'll want to come in. I could hear a cuckoo just now. Was it a cuckoo or a wood pigeon? It stopped. Anyway, the cat was zooming about, but I didn't let him out. And he is now... But I've come downstairs at 5:45, thinking, oh, he'll be zooming about, wanting to get out, but he's asleep on the sofa. It's a wood pigeon. So, yes, hello to these two lovely ladies, by the way, who brought their dog. I was at an event yesterday, which was in Exeter at the racecourse, and it was the Great Resist. A long day for people, I think, with far too many talkers. It's a bit ambitious, really. I'm not knocking the event, fascinating bunch of people, but it overran, certainly in terms of some of the speakers, just instead of having 20 minutes, I mean, a couple of them went on for an hour. I thought it was a bit cheeky, and I had to, my piece was delayed. Not that that really mattered to me, because I don't use slides or anything like that. So if there's a clock that I can monitor and I know I've got 20 minutes, I can make mine last 20 minutes, which I did. I try to be as professional as I can. I mean, I work on the fly, of course, and I don't know whether what I was saying was of any use to anybody. I was trying to talk about the name and how the name is the most important thing because it's about jurisdiction. In 20 minutes, I wanted to give an example of some things that have happened to us, Julia and I, and it's amazing how the time goes. And I also wanted to inject a bit of life and fun, because some of the presentations were quite monotone. I mean, very important information. I'm not knocking the information, but I'm a performer, and these people are just telling you what they know, but they're not necessarily good speakers. And I don't mean to denigrate them in any way, but I, you know, as a performer, I'm trying to engage with laughter, humour, make sure they're all awake, and surprise, I suppose, where possible, and share information. So in the 20 minutes, I think I did inject a little bit of some of those things into it. So, but it would have been nice to have had just that, again, to have had, say, half an hour at least, because there is so much to say, and I want really people to take on board what I'm saying, or and not necessarily to practice it, because it, I think you really have to understand what you're talking about, but the name, the all caps name that corporations write to you, is, it's so important to understand the concept. And what I was getting over is the fact that when they write to you, who are they actually writing to? We always think it's us, but they're writing to a dead entity. Well, you have the choice. If you want to be the dead entity and accept whatever it is they're writing about and switch into that jurisdiction, then you just answer the email, answer the letter, and you know, you might argue your point and say, I don't believe this is a correct, let's say it's a bill like the council tax, and say, I don't think this is a fair thing. I think you're charging too much. I think you got sending the money overseas, killing men, women, children. I don't think there's a contract. Send me the invoice. You know, you could argue all of that. And as soon as you start arguing with any of that stuff, you've accepted that you are this legal dead entity that's been recorded by the Crown Corporation, and which isn't you. And you've got the choice, you see. You have the choice to decide whether it's you or not. And it isn't you. Of course it's not you, because the name, Mr. Fred Bloggs, Mrs. Jane Austen, whatever it is, the name is a label. It can only ever be a label, in the way that you might describe yogurt. You know, I don't know why I picked yogurt, but yogurt is a substance made from milk where the milk has soured, as I understand it. And we give it a label so that we can identify it in the future from some other substance that looks the same. So we say, ah, yes, this is yogurt, and it might have fruit in it. So it might, we say, you know, it's a yogurt with fruit, as opposed to this, which is sick, that somebody's just thrown up and put into a bowl. Now, we can differentiate it in other ways, of course, by its smell and presumably by its taste. Nobody wants to taste somebody else's sick, of course. But what I mean by this is we give it a label so that we understand, but the label itself is not the object. It's just the label we call it. The object is really only a thing that we can describe And in order to help describe it, we give it a label, which is what the name is. The name is not you. It's a label that you have been given. But you don't have to accept it. And this is the thing that most people don't necessarily fully understand. Your mum and dad may say, oh, I want to call you Richard. That's the name. And they may have accepted the label of whatever their surname is, you know. And so automatically you become this thing, and this label is useful in the world because you can open a bank account and you can get a passport and you can have utility bills, etc., even if those utility bills are false, because in the past, before privatisation, water was, you know, a fraction of the cost, because effectively the municipal council, when the municipal council was not a corporation, was a public authority, in those days, because we paid a certain amount of taxes and we'd put the infrastructure in years and years ago, we weren't paying anything like the sort of nonsense we're paying now. Same with the electricity, same with gas. But it was all privatised, turned into a private company. And so we then have metering, which is saying, oh yes, for every cubic metre you have of this, we're going to cost you this much. When actually, mostly, it ought to be, if not free, because it's all been paid for, effectively. Or it should be at a fraction of the cost. Now, I don't mind paying for any of those utilities if somebody's going to pump the water, clean water, to my house. First, it's not clean water. And secondly, it's overpriced and people are making a profit from it. And I don't believe that water should be a profitable business. Yes, you need to reinvest, but I don't think these companies should be there to make a profit. Not when it is something that is a human need that you cannot do without. And I think utilities come under that bracket, same as electricity, same as the internet. These companies should provide that service and they should break even, maybe reinvest into the infrastructure, that's absolutely fine, but they should not have a profit. Why should they have a profit? And where does that profit go? That profit should, you know, they shouldn't have shareholders. They should not have shareholders. The government can use public money to help set it up because these are public needs. But thereafter, and that money can be repaid to the government out of the so-called profit over a long, long time, like a mortgage, I suppose, if it was a fair mortgage. But it should not have a profit. It should never need to show a profit, because it should be at the lowest cost possible to the people it has been installed at. That's my belief, and that might be what I talk about in my video today, actually, because I think that's a very good point. Anyway, so you choose with the name whether you want to engage with all of this, because it's just a label, but it's not the label you invented. It's somebody else invented, your mum and dad, and all of that. So part of my talk was, when you get a letter, as I have, from the council tax, for example, I recognise the council tax envelope. You know, it's very easy to see that. Or Inland Revenue, or all these things, and they're writing to the all caps name, to the capital, all in capital letters, you know, dear Richard Vobes, you owe us this, please pay. I don't even now open the envelope. This is what I mean. Because there's no point. They are, so in other words, it is like a letter drops through your letterbox addressed in capital letters to Sherlock Holmes.
Excuse me.
Or Dr. Watson. Or Mr. Fred Bloggs. You know, intrinsically, it's not you. You know, Sherlock Holmes, that's not me. You might open it, but we know we're not allowed to open envelopes that are not addressed to us. That, of course, is a breach of privacy. So when an envelope comes to the uppercase, all caps name, one really should not open it. You should have no business with it whatsoever. Now, what really one should do is to say to your friends and the nice people you want to, you know, if you do Amazon deliveries, I'm not saying Amazon and particularly nice people, but if you do Amazon deliveries or any of these other things, that, that the people that you like and you're buying something and you have every intention of paying it and all of this, then you should call yourself something different. Call yourself Jemima Gigglegox, Gigglebox, whatever, so that you can differentiate. Give yourself a nom de plume, like authors do. In other words, I could write and say, send all your goodies when you post to me to Richard Biggleswick. And then when the envelope arrives, you know that Richard Biggleswick is all your good stuff. When it comes in all caps name to the name that's on your birth certificate, you go, that's not for me. That's actually not for me because I'm not that. And if you want the bank to write to you and in terms of just statements and things, either you need to just learn to recognise the envelopes they use, which for me is very easy, but other people might just say, well, I'd like you to, please will you send it to, and give them a different name to send it to. Could you send it care of, and just give up some excuse. So you might say, can you give it to care of, Biggleswick Bottom, Biggleswick Residential House, whatever you want to call it. Tell them, just give them, this is the address to send it to, so that then again you immediately recognise on the envelope, yes, that one's actually an intended one for me and I know what I want, rather than the ones which come. And then you can isolate whichever ones come that are mean and moody. You don't have to open them. You say, well, that's not me, is it? And then just send it back and say, excuse me, hello. I know this letter has arrived at my home. It's very important you say home, because a home is where you live. A house is often it's a sort of very cold word, isn't it? A house, in some respects. And a house would be on a map. And the postcode is just a place on a map. It's not on the earth. It's not a real place, is it? Because, again, it's a label. The postcode is only a label. The earth, in and of itself, the land that we live on, does not have postcodes etched into it by the creator of the earth. Whoever created the earth, whether you call that God, the universe, whatever, or it was a big bang, did not create postcodes on the earth. It's only a relatively recent thing, and it's only a guide for locations on that earth by people like military and post and the post office. It's not a real place. They've mapped it. It's on a map. So I don't give my address to any of these officials when I write back. I don't give my address to made-up labels. The only things that I will do is people can get to where it is. You know, I mean, in the old days, you'd say, oh, yes, I lived down Dingley Dell by the big oak tree. You'd have a description, wouldn't you? You wouldn't, because that's what you, that's actually describing where you live. So if you live at 23 Acacia Avenue, in case you're passing, in West Town, let's say Dorset, whatever, postcode DRM60, whatever it is, can't think of a Dorset postcode, DR239X4F, or whatever, I leave that off. So I will return the thing. I mean, sometimes I won't even put an address. But if I feel that I would like them to write to me, which they won't do, they won't write to a man because they're corporations, I will say to them, I will put their letter, their envelope in a bigger envelope, and I will put a letter, covering letter with it, and it will say something along the line. And I'll put my address. So I will put my address. I've named the house. I don't use their number because, again, that's nothing. Name the house because I've named it. I've named this house. So I will put the name of the house. Let's say I've called the house Fairy Cake, whatever, doesn't matter. So I put the name of the house, my road, no number, and the town, the name of the town. So effectively, I have said, I live in Dingley Dell, down by the big oak tree. I've effectively said, I live at this particular house, a fairy cake house, and it's in Acacia Avenue in no man's land, whatever the town's name is. And that way, they can still find it, because they can go and find out where the town is. That's easy enough. If there are a number of towns of the same name, then you could put in the south of England, or in the north of England, or, you know. But England is a difficult one as well, because that is a label. So you could say, in the south of the landmass of Britain. Because the landmass of Britain, Britain is a sort of name that has been historically used for this landmass, but the fact that you're saying it's a landmass that we call Britain is a good description, because again, you're describing somewhere. You're not using a map reference, and it's very important that. Anyway, so I will put, so I will just simply say, Fairy Cake House, Acacia Avenue, in my case, I would say Worthing. That's it. So then I write back and say, then the main body of the letter would say something along the lines of, please find enclosed an envelope that arrived at my home. I'm not sure if you were writing to me or to somebody else. I have a feeling you might have been writing to me, but you may not, because I don't recognise the name. If you are writing to me, and I'm more than happy, you know, what one's not doing is blocking. You're saying, I'm more than happy to correspond with you. More than happy. I'll correspond with anybody if you get my name right. And that's the only prerequisite you're saying. That's all it is. And you're just saying, please get my name right and I will correspond. Obviously, it's you can add. I don't often add that, but, you know, I shouldn't open somebody else's letter. So I'm returning this to you. But, you know, I'm happy to correspond, but please get my name right. Absolutely. You know, that's all you're saying. Thank your very best wishes. You know, my Christian name. And why not put your Christian name? It by saying your Christian name, you could say your forename and all of this. But your forename suggests there are other names. Christian name. If you just say my Christian name, you're saying two things. You could be saying that you are of religious leaning. There's a hint at that, of course, quite a big hint, that also you're a Christian, which particular religious leaning you are. And you don't necessarily have to been. But also people used to call the first name your Christian name in the West. So you could just be using it as to sort of help people understand which name it is that you're using, your Christian name. I think that's important. And there are deeper reasons for that. But for the moment, just say my Christian name is Richard. That's it. No surname. Don't need to write anything else. Not Mr., not Mrs. These are all titles. They're all labels. And you don't even have to put the name that you go by. You know, if, for example, people might call me Baldy. They might call me Dick. They don't. I don't like the nickname Dick. But some people have a nickname. Ultimately, again, it's a label. It's a label that all it is a sound that people use to get your attention. Hello, Dick. Hello, Baldy. It's so you could say my Christian name or the name I go by is. You see, you don't necessarily have to put Christian name, but that would be a name that perhaps your mum and dad have done. But I think you could even use the name I go by is Dick. Call me Dick. Because effectively you're just saying, look, you've got to call me by this, what is effectively a sound, isn't it? that people have turned into letters and have written down, but it's a sound that people will address you by and you feel comfortable, whatever that is. So, you know, you might be called Melissa and your friends call you Mel. You might say, my name is Mel. That's it. So you write that and you send it back, you know, in good faith, yours faithfully, whatever you want to say, yours sincerely, doesn't matter. And you just, you know, Mel, Richard, Dick, whatever. Send that off. They won't write back to you as that because they can't. They can't. They can only write to the all caps name. This makes it very difficult for them because you've said this all caps name does not live here. I'm happy to write to you, but call me Mel, Dick, Fred, whatever. And because you want, in, you're saying I'm happy to write to you, but, and the, so the likelihood is they'll send you another one and they'll test it. And they may do this three times. And you do the same thing. You just write back and say, thanks very much. You know, I've had this letter again. It isn't, it's you're writing to somebody, I think it's me. It may not be me. I don't know. But if you want to talk to me, absolutely, no problem. Just call me by my you know, get my name right. Just call me by the my name, not this other name. And what I was, in the talk I gave, I was saying, this is what's happened to Julia. And the council did write to Julia as Julia, not her surname, in the end. But to see, the problem is, as soon as they do that, they are writing to her officially as a representative of a corporation. And now, instead of writing to another corporation, which is what the dead entity name is, the registered name at birth, marriages and deaths, on the copy of an entry of a birth, which is a corporation, and corporations can only deal with corporations. They can't deal with real living men and women. Once they do that, they have acknowledged, they've stepped Julia or whoever it is out of the jurisdiction that they can operate in. They shouldn't now be writing to that individual. And they should not be trying to push any claims for any money. And they are in a very difficult situation because they cannot demand money from somebody, an individual. They can't demand it. That's why they only write to you in all caps name, because they can only demand money from people, from the dead entity. They can't demand money from individuals, real people. They cannot do that. It's like chalk and cheese, oil and water. It don't work. Now, this is a very, very old system, you know. They are dead entities that don't exist. They need humans to operate them. But, you know, all these things, a business is not, where's Mr. Business? You know, Tesco's does not exist. Not really. We think of it existing because there are people who sort of represent this idea of Tesco's. But there's no Mr. Tesco. There's no Mr. Tesco that you could take to court. If you went to court, you would have to take, it would be a representative of Tesco who would be there in the prosecution box saying, you know, you owe me some money or whatever it is, or you were taking them to court for whatever. You couldn't take Tesco to court. You could only take a representative. But your legal fiction can take him to court because it's not a real living man. The legal fiction, which is a corporation in and of itself, registered on, has become a business, is a corporation. You think it's you, and so you become the representative of the Crown Corporation's name, which is a bit balmy, really, isn't it? Because if you get a case from the Crown against you, it's the Crown against the Crown, which is a bit of a nonsense, isn't it? I mean, that's another non sequitur, isn't it? Because if the Crown is taking a dead entity, the dead entity has been registered by the Crown Corporation. The Crown Corporation is taking itself. And you could, I mean, it's another argument you could use, but let's not muddy the water too much. But if you understand that the all caps name is a corporation and isn't you, this is the hardest bit for people to kind of grasp. they think it is me. They think that, it is me because there's a birth certificate. Yet look at the birth certificate. The birth certificate says this document is not to be used or not to be presented as evidence of identity. It says it on it. And yet the birth certificate is the thing that is being used to create passports and driving licenses and your utility bills. Everyone says, oh, we need to see your birth certificate. But it says on the birth certificate, you cannot use this document as proof of identity. Because how can you? I mean, it is ridiculous. It's just a bit of paper with words on it. It doesn't mean anything. I suppose if you were born and you put your thumbprint on or you had your blood, or it had a photo or something like that, you could then say, look, there's a bit of this baby on this document. And that might help you identify. And that's why these digital IDs are going to be very, and the biometrics are there to help. However, even then, you can say, how do I know that that blood has not been put there after the event? How do I know it's the correct baby's blood? It'll only be hearsay. That, you know, oh yeah, the nurse did do it. Well, show me, get me the nurse. I want to know that the nurse did the right baby. Even then, it's difficult to prove. You'd have to have a number of witnesses and you could bring them into court. But are those witnesses still alive? You know, let's say you're 50. You go to court and they say, well, we want to prove it's you. And you say, well, how are you going to prove it's you? Well, we've got a birth certificate with bits of DNA and bits of this on it. So, and they match up to your DNA. And you say, yeah, but okay. But how do you know that that DNA that's on that piece of paper, actually, that piece of paper is mine? How do you know that's the right piece of paper? And that isn't a forgery. How can you be sure that is, I want to see those witnesses. Well, those witnesses might be dead. Anyway, but that's into a fanciful thing because they don't actually do that. But with the biometrics that they do, it makes it far easier for them to identify you. But at the moment, you cannot be identified. You cannot be identified 100%. You can only do it by hearsay or by admission. So if you don't admit, it's not you, you know. So this, I hope that doesn't muddle the water too much. So the envelope comes through the thing. It says it, and you go, no, it says Sherlock Holmes. I'm not Sherlock Holmes. I'm Mary. I've never been Sherlock Holmes, or I'm not Mary Shelley. I don't know who she is. I thought she wrote Frankenstein. So you return it, and they will struggle now. And then there's the whole business of if it goes to court, and I don't want to get into that on this particular one. But again, it comes back to if they summons, you haven't paid the poll tax, the council tax, and they're summoning you, but are they summoning you? You say, well, who are you summoning? You've had this. I don't know who this is. Who are you summoning? Because the problem they have is identifying you. But most people will go, is that hello? Are you Mary Shelley? Yes. That's it. Then you've agreed to be the dead entity. As soon as you do that, you're in their game. But all the time you go, no, that's not me. I don't know who that is. Sorry, mate. And you acknowledge it. You know, bailiff knocks on the door. Hello, you Mary Shelley. The response is, sorry, who? Because what can they say if you go, I don't know who you're talking about. Are you not Mary Shelley? No, I never heard of her. Who's that? Are you looking for... I don't think she lives in this terrace. I think she might live over the road. You're not lying if you say, I think, because maybe you do think that. Well, I think you've got the wrong road. It might be up there. No, this says on this. Oh, and in my case, they come to the door with an address. I will finish in a minute. I don't like to leave these very long. In my case, they come to the door with an address and they say, well, you, Richard Vobes of 24 Acacia Avenue, whatever it is. And I say, sorry, what address? 24 Acacia. I said, my house doesn't have a number. I'm in Acacia Avenue. That's right. But I live at Fairy Cake or whatever it was I said. And I'll point to the plaque on the wall. I said, I live at Fairy Cake. That's where I live. I don't know what this, where's this, 24 you said? And what can they do? Well, you live between 25 and 23. Yes, that's very true. But I don't have a number. well, we've got a number on this envelope, on all the documents. Right. But I don't have a number. So I don't know. Well, it goes 23, and then there's 25 there. So you must be 24. Right. On your map, I guess that does say that, but I don't live on a map. I live on the earth, and I can't see 24. So you're trying to identify my house with a number that doesn't exist. You're just making up that number. You're filling that gap, you know. And I don't know who this person that you're looking for is. What can they do? They can do very little. They can't, because you haven't said, oh, yes, that's me. As soon as you go, yes, that's me, you've just admitted that, yes, and then you have to take the consequences. So that's why I suggest that one changes their name. You don't have to do it by deed poll. For God's sake, don't do it by deed poll. I think that's probably the worst thing to do. It's just because it's just a label. Call yourself whatever, you know, call yourself by your nickname, and then, anyway, I've gone on and on and on and on about it. But you can see that you need time for some of these things. And yesterday, I just didn't get enough time. Anyway, take care. Thank you for listening. Bye for now.